I want to thank everybody for your prayers. I had 5 epidural shots, not this Friday, the Friday before, and ever since then, my neuropathy hasn't appeared even once. But when I'm standing in one place, it's comes up. So that's why I'm up here, not taking any chances. So the scripture reading and reflection this week is based out of Ephesians 3:14-20. I call this the Be an Influencer sermon. So when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. So this fullness is fully expressed only in Jesus Christ. In union with Christ and through his empowering spirit within us, we are complete. We have all the fullness of God available to us. But, so whenever there's a but in scripture, it's pointing to the cardinal matter. Here's the cardinal matter. We must appropriate that fullness through faith, through prayer, as we daily live for him. So this is Paul's prayer to the Ephesians for spiritual empowering. It's also a prayer for me and for you. I must know Jesus Christ as Savior before his teaching has any meaning to me. Because if we don't have the meaning, it's an ideal that leads to despair. But when I am born again of the Spirit of God, I know that Jesus did not come only to teach. Jesus came so that me and you and everybody listening can be what he teaches we should be. The redemption means that Jesus Christ can put into any man, any woman, a disposition that ruled his life. And all the standards God gives are based on that disposition. So what exactly does disposition mean? I went into the old Webster's Dictionary to get this meaning. It means a willingness to be helpful. It means one's general nature, one's general mood, one's general temperament, and the power to distribute. That's what Jesus wants us to do. After our redemption, then comes a thing called sanctification. Now, sanctification is a lifelong process. It's going to end when we meet Jesus eye to eye. It's not something that Jesus puts into us. It is Christ Jesus in me and you himself. Am I willing to make sanctification as real to me as it is in God's holy word? Sanctification is an impartation, not an imitation. What does that mean? So we are to give, we are to share, we are to reveal. And what, as Christians, does that mean? It means we have at our disposal the qualities of Jesus, his patience, his love, his holiness, his faith, his purity. They were all manifested in our souls at our redemption. So now we can look at it this way. Is it our duty? Is it our job? Is it our purpose? However you want to look at it. But it is our job to work out our redemption, to work out our sanctification. And then the struggle, the battle, whatever you want to call it, begins. We have the old man against the new man. We have the natural man and woman against the spiritual man and woman. You heard me say it often, which side wins? The one that gets fed the most. So it's not how much spirit we have, it's how much of us the spirit has. And let the sanctification process begin. Now we will have a little bit of struggles. Satan didn't bat an eye to go and tempt and test Jesus. He's not going to let up on us. And he has a lot of subtle ways of trying to stop this proper sanctification process. One of them is anxiety. I was joking around earlier with some people and saying, right about now, I think I have a doctorate in anxiety. I love this definition. Anxiety is mentally leaving where you are and getting into an area of the past or the future. One of the things we need to understand that God wants us to learn to live in the now. And when we are now people, we can proceed in sanctification. Too often we spend our time in the past and in the future. We need to learn to live in the now, mentally. And a lot of times when I'm sitting out there with you guys listening to the pastor, my mind goes what I'm going to be doing later on rather than concentrating on what's going on right now. Mentally, as well as physically and spiritually. There is anointing in today. Our grace yesterday, our grace last week is already gone. Grace for tomorrow has not yet come. Jesus refers to himself as I am. So if you and I are living in the past or living in the future, we're going to have a little trouble getting through this life because we're going to be there pretty much alone. Jesus lives in the now. Jesus has told us plainly over and over again, we need not worry about anything. All we have to do is seek the kingdom of God and live in the kingdom of God. Leave our pride at the door. Learn how to be humble. Live in truth and live in love. And God will add whatever we need. Food, clothing, shelter, and spiritual growth. So our job, calm down, lighten up. Laugh more, worry less. Stop ruining today, worrying about yesterday or tomorrow. Neither of which we can do anything about. So worrying about yesterday or tomorrow, we need to stop that worrying because we're wasting our precious now. It will never come again. So the lesson, learn from our past, mistakes and all, prepare for the future, but live in the present. Don't be one of those if only people, if only Christians, if only I was born somewhere else, if only I was born at a time, if only I had this, if only I had that. So we need to concentrate on the now. Maybe your past isn't all that to brag about. Maybe you feel you've gone through so many bad deals more than anybody else. And now you have to make a choice. Do you rise above the past and make a difference? Or do you remain controlled by your past and make excuses? Are you rocking in the chair of regret? See, a rocking chair gives us something to do, but it never really gets us anywhere, does it? So take a spiritual perspective on things. Spiritual life comes from the Spirit. Going through those difficult times qualify us to help others go through their difficult times. Take this perspective. We all have the master's degree. So when we run into people that are going through something we went through, we can actually say to them, I know how you feel. I've felt that way. And this is what I found out. That way we can tell them about Jesus, show them about Jesus. So make your past mess become your ministry. Be an influencer. The future is in God's hands. Amen to that one. So nature has a way of telling us we're not the hot shots we think we are. We all need to start doing some weight training. Following the farmer, an example in James 5:7. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield the valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. So if there's one thing a farmer knows well, it's patience. We can't hurry the growth of a plant, and we can't do a thing to bring the rain, except standing in a field looking at the air. Just like sitting in a rocking chair doesn't do that much. But it is hard to be patient in an instant world, isn't it? A baby comes when it comes, convenient or not. The puppy will be housebroken when he decides to be. Don't go buying a new rug just yet. So preparing for our future. One of my first jobs in high school was working for Towncraft Industries. What I was trained to do was sales. And what I was selling was Hope Chest items. Is that still going on? I know 50 years ago it was big, where the woman planning on getting married, she would start stashing and putting away and buying china, silverware, fine cutlery. Preparing for the future, that's a good thing. Now, C.S. Lewis puts another twist on a hope chest. He calls it a spiritual hope chest. And he says that's a quality of a properly ordered soul. He likened it to the human body, where the head, which is our reason, must rule over our belly, which is our sensual appetite, but it all happens through our chest, where our heart is, where our spirit is, where our character is developed. Without a strong spiritual hope chest, Lewis says, we would all succumb to excuses, relativism, and compromise. So we all heard the story. Adam, where are you? I was hiding, Lord, I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree? But, Lord, that woman you gave me. Eve, did you eat the forbidden fruit? That serpent, that snake. And we all know the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. Neither do we. To an all-seeing, all-knowing God, excuses do not cut it. Now, this thing called relativism has been around a long, long time, but we don't have to look too far how relevant it is in this day and age. So this is a real sly one Satan uses. It's the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist. But the clutch on it is it exists in relation to your culture, in relation to your society, or in relation to history. So what it really is saying, relativism, that there is no absolute truth, morality, or knowledge. It wants to make this irrelevant, doesn't it? And if that starts happening in us, we start compromising. We take the truth we know. We take the knowledge we know. We take the doctrines in the Bible we know and lower our standard. Till we get caught going, what the heck just happened? But don't worry. Because of our being saved, we have security. We have eternal life. Our redemption does that for us. Jesus dying on the cross and redemption, we have a clear conscience if we choose to be forgiven, if we repent. And as we go along with our sanctification process, if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, if we allow God's holy word to be our standard, we will have that strong hope chest to get us into the future and live for the now. We will have strong character. One of the things we need, one of the things the Bible teaches us is an important word called integrity. It's important in our sanctification process. It's also important if we want to be an influencer. So to become an influencer, it's a foundation which many other qualities are built, such as respect, dignity, trust. If that foundation of integrity is weak, if that foundation is fundamentally flawed, then being a person of influence becomes impossible. It puts a damper on our run to see Jesus face to face. Integrity commits itself to character over gain, to people over things, to service over power, to principle over convenience, to the long view, eternity over the immediate. Integrity teaches us how we can delay personal gratification, to build our character. Our character isn't created in a crisis, it only comes to light. What does God want us to do in all of this? He wants us to succeed at being ourselves. The Bible tells us no two souls are alike. We read Psalm 139 earlier. I strongly suggest that we read it over and over several times a month. It tells us to be proud of who we are, that we are God's masterpiece. One of the things, if we want to succeed at being an influencer, is we have to get rid of discontentment. It's one of the big giants we must conquer if we ever hope to enjoy life fully. Discontentment with looks, age, position, possessions, or anything that makes us ungrateful in what we have or who we are puts a damper on our lives. So cheer up. Make the best of things. Love God. Love yourself. Love your life. It's the only one you have. As I was preparing this, several things popped up unexpectedly. This is from Jesus' calling. Hold my hand and walk joyously with me through this day. Together we will savor the pleasures and endure the difficulties it brings. Be on the lookout for everything I have prepared for you. Stunning scenery, bracing winds of adventure, cozy nooks for resting when you are weary, and much more. I am your guide as well as your constant companion. I know every step of the journey ahead of you all the way to heaven. You don't have to choose between staying close to me and staying on course. Since I am the way, staying close to me is staying on course. So as you face your thoughts on me and focus, I will guide you carefully along today's journey. Don't worry about what is around the next bend. Just concentrate on enjoying my presence and staying in step with me. I try to get this tattooed on my brain, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is with us, he is in us, and he is for us. Amen.